The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Well, now I'm joined by Luke O'Neill, Professor of Biochemistry at Trinity College in Dublin. Luke, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
And you're going to talk about chocolate, of all things.
I am. You like chocolate at Christmas?
I love chocolate all the year round, I have to say. Yeah. But it contains sugar, obviously.
It does have sugar, yeah, and it can be good and bad for you. But there is good parts to it as well, as we'll discuss.
Now, the sugar and the sugar, because people will think, I'm eating fruit, I'm having fructose, that's fine, thank you very much. Or I'm eating sweets, I'm having glucose.
Yeah.
How many sugars are there?
There are 250 types of sugar, amazingly. If you look at the label and stuff, like, you have things like white sugar, brown sugar, you know, demerara, you have all these different types, you know, but they're all based on glucose and fructose. Those are two specific types of sugar molecules. The ones in white sugar, Pat, actually, is called sucrose. That is a molecule of glucose and fructose combined. Strangely, you've got two different sugar molecules. And when you eat it, an enzyme called sucrase breaks it down and releases the sucrose and the fructose. Now, fruit juice is more fructose than glucose, if you know what I mean.
Okay.
So biochemically, it's a really interesting area for
so
us.
So when you consume fruit juice, I mean, some people would say I'd go for orange juice, much healthier than Coca-Cola.
Not true. If there's fibre in it, if there's bits in it, that's good. Because the bits of fibre slow down the absorption
and,
of
and
the
some
glucose.
Some manufacturers boast about that their orange juice contain bits.
They do, yeah.
And others say it's free of bits.
It's free. The free one is as bad as soft drinks. The amount of glucose and fructose in orange juice with no bits is almost as high as a soft drink, right? If there's bits in it, it slows down the absorption. The trouble is, you don't want to get a glucose spike in your blood. If you drink liquid glucose, as is in soft drinks, you get a big spike in glucose in your blood, and that's bad for you. That seems to be damaging. It can cause more obesity, strangely, for instance. Did you know, Pat, that sugar turns into fat? People don't realise this. If you eat sugar in your diet, some of it gets turned into fat.
Okay.
And gets deposited in the fat tissue. And fructose in particular, that really turns into fat. And fruit juice has more fructose. So therefore, if you drink too much fructose, you get more fat from the fructose.
Now, if you have in a glass of orange juice, you've the juice of three oranges, or alternatively, if you've got the time, you eat the three oranges, which is better.
Much better. If you eat the orange, it's full of fibre. Remember, as we know, it's very fibrous as a fruit. And that's sort of a more natural way to take in the glucose then. And again, you take it in and it slowly gets into your bloodstream. If you drink it pure orange juice or soft drinks, it's like mainlining glucose kind of.
Yeah.
It goes straight into your bloodstream and now you see the spike.
Now, what happens when you do spike? I mean, I would know, for example, that a diabetic who goes low, what they want to do straight away is to get some glucose into them, be it juice or gel or whatever it is. They want to get their sugar levels back up.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they'll faint.
Yeah.
So it does work very quickly.
Oh, it does. It's good for diabetics, exactly.
Yeah.
You need the spike if it's been very low. But if you aren't diabetic, you get this big spike of glucose in your blood system, right?
Now, what does that do to you?
Some of that immediately begins getting turned into fat. That's the problem. It ramps up very high and you can't metabolize it for energy purposes. Instead, it gets turned into fat. That's the first thing it does. But secondly, it puts huge pressure on your body and your insulin, and it's a risk of diabetes. If you drink high sugar drinks all the time, that messes up the whole insulin system in your body because the machinery has to work too hard and you may develop type 2 diabetes. And that's the risk of having far too much sugary foods. The risk of diabetes is high.
Now, do we know whether those so-called diet drinks are better for you?
Well, that's a good question as well. Probably not. Yeah, I wouldn't think so. No, because mind you, it's all about the sugar content, and some of the low sugar is good. And the sugar replacements, remember, for the aspartame, they are not completely risk-free either, of course, because they will have certain side effects, but they're probably better than taking high sugar drinks.
And then, of course, there are people who literally drink litres of diet drinks every day thinking, I'm fine.
Yeah, no.
But there's a little bit of sugar in some of them.
There's a bit of sugar, and then the chemicals in them. Remember, those diet drinks, Pat, have sugar substitutes, which are natural or unnatural chemicals. And the worry would be they would affect our bodies in various ways. So they aren't healthy at all, really.
Now, which is sweeter, glucose, sucrose, fructose?
Yeah, I'm glad you've asked me that. Fructose is the sweetest of all the types of sugars, you see. And we really sense that with our taste buds. And we get this really real sweet sensation off fruit juice, for instance. But again, remember, it's different to glucose. It's more inclined to turn into fat. So high fructose foods and high fructose drinks are one of the reasons why there's all this obesity. Because fructose is very high in some of these things. And therefore, it starts getting laid down as fat in your fat tissues. And that's the negative part of fructose.
What kind of sugars might we find in things like apples? I mean, I presume apple is good for fibre, is it?
It is, yeah. It's strange. It's always glucose, actually. Most of the time it's glucose or fructose.
Bananas,
those two,
same thing.
Fructose, yeah. Fructose is more common in fruits, of course. But the great thing, Pat, about this is if you eat sugar with nuts and fibre, that's a good thing. Because again, the nuts and the fiber slow everything down.
Everyone's a fruit and nut.
Well, now we're talking. Those products are very clever in a way. The ones that combine fruits and nuts are actually a better way.
So they're not selling them. Cadbury's are not selling that as a health food, but in fact, it is rather healthier than the plain bar.
It is. And for Christmas, Pat, the good news is the Christmas cake and the pudding is full of fruit and full of nuts. So the sugar in that is absorbed a bit more slowly, and therefore it's better for you in that format, as long as you don't eat too much of it, of course. So having fruit and nuts as part of something is good when you take sugar.
So the more fruit we can mix in, however it comes, be it soused in brandy or whatever in the plum pudding or whatever, it's better for
it. It's better, exactly.
Okay, now let's talk about chocolate.
Yeah.
Now, there's dark chocolate, there's milk chocolate, and there's white chocolate.
There is. Again, it's complicated, and you probably know this. There's always the story, dark chocolate's good for you.
Yeah.
Now, the big question is that true or not, right? And the latest research says it is, but if you eat 45 grams of dark chocolate a day, it decreases your risk of heart attack and decreases blood pressure.
And do we know why?
We do. So the dark chocolate is higher in cocoa solids, they're called. Cocoa solids. And that's the bit of the chocolate that's good for you. The cocoa fat is the buttery stuff that's more fat promoting. But if you have dark chocolate...
And is that made from cocoa as well?
Oh yeah, they all start with the plant. The cacao is the plant and it makes cocoa. And they ferment it and they roast it and you end up with the solids and then the butter, right?
Okay.
The butter is full of fat. The solids is the good part and that's more bitter, and the dark chocolate is richer in those solids. Now they've shown there's things called flavanols that are in the dark part, in the solids part, and that's the bit that's lowering blood pressure. And there's really good evidence for this now.
Are those things found in other foods as well?
They are, yeah. They're found in things like blueberries are rich in flavanols, for instance. Okay. Certain tea can be rich in them as well. And they've got two effects. They lower your blood pressure, which is good. Protect your heart is a really important thing. And they're antioxidants. So they mop up oxygen radicals in your body that are being made, and oxygen can be toxic at times. So again, they're lowering these oxygen radicals, and that's very rich in the dark chocolates. That's why there's evidence of dark chocolate being good for you.
Okay, so that's the flavanols.
Yeah.
But there is sugar in the dark chocolate.
Now, that's the
risk.
So if you read about this, Pat, it'll say you can't eat loads of chocolate because it's usually got sugar as well. So it's the sugar content. But the good thing is, Pat, the dark chocolate is, the flavanols are bitter tasting. So you're inclined to eat less of them. Milk chocolate is much richer in the cocoa butter and high sugar, and we love that. We'll gorge on milk chocolate. But you rarely hear of people eating a whole box of dark chocolates because the bitterness puts them off slightly, whereas the milk chocolate, it's much more acceptable to them. So it's a bit strange. But the trouble is that there's too much sugar in the bitter, in the dark chocolate, then it's sort of a negative effect. So it's a balance between the two. You need to make sure there isn't too much sugar and there's sufficient amounts of flavanols in it.
Now, to be called chocolate, I mean, is there a certain percentage of the cocoa bean that you need to say this is chocolate?
There is, absolutely. And it's about 20% of it, of the total content, has these cocoa solids and cocoa butter, then you can call it chocolate. If it's lower than that, you can't call it chocolate.
So in the case of white chocolate, there's probably no solids at all.
Well, this is the problem. The white chocolate shouldn't really be called chocolate. They're saying that doesn't really qualify as a type of chocolate because it's got hardly any of these solids at all. It's mainly the butter part, you see.
Yeah.
And therefore it's white in colour.
Because it has bits of the cocoa plant in it through the butter, that's how they can
get away with it, exactly. Yeah, but the white one is probably the least healthy of all the chocolates because it's lacking in them, in the solid and the flavanol part, is the idea.
So the bottom line here is that dark chocolate, in moderation, 45 grams a day, will be good for you.
Will be good for you, precisely. It's a recommendation, but precisely, yeah.
I used to eat a healthy raisin snack from Aldi, healthy once I suck the chocolate off the raisins.
To be honest, raisins are great fat, by the way, as well. Because raisins are very fibrous. And again, it's in your stomach and it's slowing down the glucose absorption and you don't get that spike anymore if you've eaten the sugar with the raisins, is the idea.
I was reading that porridge turns into sugar in the stomach. Does Luke know, is this true and is it harmful?
It does. Well, porridge is full of carbohydrate, remember.
Yeah.
And the carbohydrates can get turned into glucose in your biochemically. You can make carbohydrates. But the good thing about porridge is extremely rich in fiber. And that's really healthy, you know. So I wouldn't worry about too much sugar, a sugar rush after porridge. You will see a spike. It'll be slow, though, because you're digesting slowly.
This is the,
and it's
the,
more natural.
The joy of the fibrous materials, they are slowly absorbed.
Exactly. That's the idea there. Yeah, precisely.
Very good. Can you ask Luke about using honey as a sweetener?
Honey's not bad, actually. And again, That's very high in sucrose. So it's got lots of glucose, lots of fructose. In fact, of all the foods that are natural, honey is some of the highest levels of fructose. So again, you'll be careful, not too much of it. As you say, Pat, we evolved to eat this stuff, remember?
Yeah.
In the jungles or whatever it was. You know, you got to make sure you don't eat too much of it and then you're going to be okay. But honey's a good source of sugar.
Of stories, don't know whether they're true or not, about if you eat local honey, you won't be as affected by pollen, for example.
That's true. Yeah, that could be true. Because there's bits of pollen in the honey as well. Yeah.
Very good. Luke O'Neill, Professor of Biochemistry at Trinity College in Dublin. Thank you very much. Now,
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.